Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my best friend and soulmate, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Ta-da, my dear. We are in what we like to call the vestibule of Revelation, the letter of Jude written to those who have answered the call. Just a reminder that all our past programs are archived on shofarministries.net. Honey, please take and ask God for his anointing on us.
Okay, Abba Father, we praise you and thank you for sending us your anointed one to preach the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, and to the many captive bound in the clutches of sin, giving them liberty with the oil of joy. We stand firm on your word that you will direct our paths, make our way smooth, and keep our burdens light. Anoint this program, O Lord, as well as those listening today, giving your ear to their personal requests to include the salvation of all our loved ones. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Oh, amen.
Okay, let's begin with Israel that has been on kind of like a roller coaster lately.
Yeah. First it was that Russia's Putin would get the Iranians with Hezbollah to move back from Israel's borders on the Golan Heights in exchange that they make nice and allow Assad's regime to remain in peace. That was a great agreement, but not happening. For soon it became obvious that Putin just couldn't follow through. So at this juncture, Israel will continue to attack any base suspected to contain Iranian soldiers or its proxies, as evidenced on Tuesday when the IDF shot down a Russian-made Syrian fighter jet that entered Israeli airspace on the Golan border. Israel remains on high alert.
Hey, what about the Gaza region?
That's pretty horrible as well. Hamas not only continues with the flaming kites and balloons and rockets, they are now using trained sniper marksmen, recently killing an IDF soldier. Israel responded quickly, attacking 8 Hamas outposts, killing 4 and injuring about 100 more. Egypt immediately stepped in to broker a ceasefire last week, but that's just not expected to last.
Yeah, the scoop is that the enemies want a dual confrontation simultaneously.
Most assume that. Iran in the north and Hamas in the south.
When will their enemies learn?
I know, right? It's not like it's their first rodeo. Meanwhile, over here, it appears that the Mueller investigation is unraveling, but Mueller might have that one thing up his sleeve that few know about. Perhaps it's Trump's past attorney and close family friend, Michael Cohen, and he could be about to sing. As far as President Trump walking back his statement in Helsinki over whether our intelligence should be believed more than what Putin says, well, most of us know we have not always been able to trust our intelligence on occasion, like in the past.
As in Iraq.
Yeah, and intelligence mistakes. Sometimes their withholdings were made concerning, as in Pearl Harbor, Bay of Pigs, Vietnam, and much more. But what we really need to remember is that the bulk of our intelligence comes from the CIA. And we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, let's move on. Mm-hmm. As we like to say, do your own research.
That's right. Oh, but one last comment. If it was Russia that hacked into the DNC emails and gave them to WikiLeaks, although many believe it was actually Seth Rich, who was a disgruntled DNC employer, who, by the way, was then soon assassinated. But either way, what about the fact that they were true emails? And Americans need to know the extreme, evil lifestyle of some of our leaders. These were actual, real emails, not fake emails. And yet, all they say is that it was such a crime to retrieve them at all.
Hogwash, I say.
Yes. Let the truth be known. And they have been trying to get at the founder of WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, for many years, who's actually having to be hiding in an embassy in Ecuador. But now, under heavy pressure, Ecuador might be releasing Assange to Great Britain, and then they will extradite him to the United States for trial. So, here's one to pray for, that President Trump pardons him.
Okay, we do welcome all of your comments and end-time questions either by email to Sheila, shofarministry.net, or call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006. And we'll call you back, usually within 24 hours. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings, no matter how small, are always very much appreciated, and any correspondence will automatically add you to our newsletter list. You can also donate through PayPal or by clicking the Partner With Us button on the left side of our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will also find our past radio and teaching letters all archived for your learning pleasure.
Very well. Okay, so before we pick it up in Jude, and since I am often asked about what Bible version I use, I should once again remind everyone, especially if you are a teacher of His Word, the importance of checking the verses in its original closest text. We use the J.P. Green Translation Interlinear Bible, which gives you the English word directly below the Greek word in the New Testament or the Hebrew word in the Old Testament, as well as the Strong's reference number above each word. Sometimes there's a few typos, but for the most part, it's pretty accurate. Even the King James should be checked for accuracy, and Jude would be one of those times because he goes very deep, as we'll soon see. But J.P. Green uses the most authentic Greek, Textus Receptus, and the Hebrew Masoretic text.
Yeah, which were discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yes. Thereby confirming even the first century Essenes read from the Masoretic Hebrew text. And you know, God purposely, I know, arranged all that for us today.
Just amazing.
And there are other reasons to support the authenticity of the Masoretic text, as in equal distant lettering that does not happen in other texts.
Okay, time for a quick summary.
Yes, Jude. As it reads in the Greek text, begins his letter by qualifying the bride as being called by the Father, sanctified, and kept in Jesus Christ.
And that the Holy Spirit changed Jude's mind about the topic of his letter.
That's right. From a salvation message to instead the importance of contending earnestly for the true faith, because certain ungodly men have crept in unnoticed, teaching unbridled lust and denying the true gospel. Also, the original Greek adds that these ungodly ones were from old or times past and have previously been marked out for condemnation. That's important information, and again, why I like to read the original as well.
There is an evil seed that has infiltrated the human race.
Yes, you better believe it. Mm-hmm. And Jesus himself, in his parables of Matthew 13, calls them the tares. Jude also reminds us that God does judge rebellion and use the golden calf incident as an example,
where 3,000 men were slaughtered under God's direct order.
Yeah. He did forgive the rest who learned a mighty lesson, and then we're given a duplicate set of commandments.
We also talked about some other judgments, as when the Israelites refused to enter Canaan.
Right, because of the huge giants.
Mm-hmm.
And they just didn't believe God was ready to help them. So instead, that generation wandered in the wilderness for 40 more years.
Yeah, how quickly they forget, except for Joshua and Caleb, who always wanted to go in.
That's right. The giants are the descendants originating from the fallen angels who probably came disguised as valiant men and mated with the women on earth.
Genesis 6, you know, it does say that.
God revealed early to us in Genesis 3 that Satan has a seed. So the angels that rebelled with Satan apparently have seeds as well. For Genesis 6 says they produced those mighty men of old, meaning giants. The name is Gabor in Hebrew. Interesting that Jude uses similar terminology of these certain men of old.
So there has always been wickedness amongst us.
Yes, so man can have the right to choose between good and evil. How else could God give us the free choice? And evil is increasing big time. Well, since I was a child in America. I do want to point out that in Psalm 58, David speaks of those who are wicked from the womb, who go astray as soon as they are born. And their poison is like the poison of a serpent. You know, David knew all about the wicked.
Well, you know, he should. He killed the giant.
Amen.
Okay, that brings us to Jude verse 6.
Yes, which says that the fallen angels are already judged because they did not keep their own domain in the heavenlies and left their abode or habitat, which can also mean their original form. And as an example, we pointed out last week how Abraham entertained angels who looked just like men.
Bottom line, it was Satan's desire to corrupt Adam's seed.
Right. So the Savior could never be born.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan came close, but for undefiled Noah, when the floods came, destroying them all because the world at that time was defiled with the wicked seed. Here's another example of why we need to look up words. Most English Bibles say Noah was perfect, but the Hebrew word is tamim, which means undefiled, because no one is perfect.
Only Yeshua.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, a question came in last week of how were giants still around many years after the floods?
That is a very good question. And no one really knows for sure, but there are two possibilities, and comes to my mind anyway. Genesis 6 only mentions Noah as being undefiled, but God allowed Noah to bring his wife, his children, and their wives. Perhaps a wicked seed was there, as some have alluded to, and perhaps maybe it was dormant for a while. We don't know for sure. But we do know that Nimrod, who was Noah's great-grandson, built the Tower of Babel, so perhaps it came through that line, because Genesis says Nimrod became, or in the Hebrew it says, began to be a mighty one, a Gabor, which can also mean a giant.
Which means he became wicked.
Yes, he did. Nimrod turned himself over to the enemy, and the Bible never mentions his offspring, probably because they were wicked. So, back to the original fallen angels called Nephilim. According to Jude 6, they are reserved under darkness until they will be used in the final judgment. And that was confirmed in 2 Peter chapter 2, that they are in waiting to be let loose upon the earth to torment the earth dwellers.
And Revelation 9 confirms this as well.
Yes, when Abaddon is given the key to open that bottomless pit.
So God promised we won't be here for that.
You know what? It's probably a good idea that we read that again. I know we read it last week, 2 Peter 2, because it really does sum it up so nicely.
Okay, verses 4 through 7. God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked.
That's a mouthful.
That is.
So, he's reserving these fallen angels until the tribulation to be let out upon the earth as part of the judgment to the earth dwellers. Wow. Okay, let's move on and read Jude verse 7.
As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire.
Okay, it says that Sodom and Gomorrah was set forth as an example. Church, are you using this example to those caught up in homosexuality, or are you compromising the Word of God? God said in Genesis 2:24 that a man should be joined to his wife. Anything else is strange flesh. It's sexual immorality, and that would include bestiality as well, which is also on the rise. If you are practicing any sexual immorality, unless you truly repent and change your ways, you will suffer an eternal fire. You are being deceived if you believe anything else. America is a Sodom and Gomorrah not only for engaging in it, but also by the mere condoning of it, making it a law, and then persecuting those who speak the truth. It's very demonic.
Yeah, that's bottom line. End of story.
So, verses 5, 6, and 7 of Jude as a whole reminds us that God does judge and then gave examples. The Israelites, the fallen angels, and even whole cities for the sin of homosexuality. Check out Genesis 19:5. Be sure and pray for heavy rains like floods against all the gay pride parades taking place in America and in Israel, sadly. Okay, Jude verse 8 says this. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. The Greek word is doxa, number 1391, and it means someone of high moral character with high standards, or any glorious one in heaven. Dreamers refers to the apostates, false teachers, who will use dreams as confirming what they say. And they say it often, that God is doing a new thing, but it's not backed by Scripture. Now, we have a lot of dreamers these days, and discernment is a must. It is imperative we spend a decent amount of time studying the Word of God, exercising your mind as Hebrews 5 commands we all do, which is why Jesus said to watch out for deception in Matthew 24. And unless you are above temptation, you too can be deceived. We all can. Then I think we have time to do verse 9. It says, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Lots of commentaries about this verse. My thoughts are pretty simple. Satan thought he could bluff the chief prince over Israel, Michael the archangel, by saying that since Moses disobeyed God, that he had the right to his body. Because Satan knew Moses' body, well, that would be definitely used for worship. So God hid it. But interesting that it was near Mount Nebo, in the same area Elijah was taken up in the chariot. But I suspect Moses was resurrected pretty quickly as a prototype of Jesus, probably in 3 days. Anyhow, we know Moses received a new body, because we read in Matthew 17 that he was at the transfiguration with Elijah, who obviously had a new body as well. and they will be back in the first half of the tribulation. Anyhow, Satan lost out when Michael said, "The Lord rebuke you." You see, Jude was not just wanting to tell how Michael treated the devil, but to teach us how to rid ourselves from devils and demons. Today we should say, in the name of Jesus, you must go. If you even suspect there is evil in your house, just demand that it leave by using the name of Jesus. And I even wonder if salvation is a prerequisite, because many people of the cloth, some not born again, have cast out demons just by using Jesus' name. The name of Jesus is extremely powerful. It really is. Of course, being born again takes your battle to a lesser level. And often, that tormented person that you help to be freed, and we should be helping those that need to be freed, will undoubtedly and immediately turn their lives over to Christ. That I can promise you. Why? Well, because you immediately give them the gospel and tell them how to be kept free. And then you speak the word of God into their soul. And then you help them to read the word as well. It's the word that is giving us the freedom and the power over the enemy. There's no doubt about it. So let me ask you a question. What about you? Have you just mistakenly turned on this program today? It's no mistake. I know some of you out there maybe haven't turned your life over to the Lord. And so maybe you are tormented. Don't waste any more time. Get on your knees. Ask Christ to come into your heart. He's your Savior. And then read His Word for your strength and for the power, as I said, which brings that dunamis power over your enemy, who, by the way, wants to kill you before you can receive Christ as your Savior. That is his goal. We're seeing a lot of suicides today, and that's just breaking my heart. So if you're listening, wake up and right now invite Jesus into your heart. Because remember, Christ suffered greatly. He really did. He was crucified on the cross for you. He paid your entire debt for your sins. He said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door." That's the door of your heart. And He's knocking on it. If you hear His voice, and I know you do, He says, "Just open that door of your heart, and I will come into you, and will dine with you, and you with me." I know you hear His voice, and He is knocking right now. But He will not crash it in. It's your move, so don't be a fool. You too can be the beneficiary of this amazing love story written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea 2,000 years ago. Church, get out there and witness. We really are running out of time. Don't be complacent. I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6:22-27. Yivarakaka Adonai v'yishmeraka, ya'er Adonai panav aleka v'yineka, yasei Adonai panav aleka v'yisem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, that shalom that passes all understanding. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper. Psalm 122, verse 6. So, keep looking up, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.